Thank you, Ian. Please turn to John's Gospel and the first chapter, and we'll read the first 13 verses. John chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. It's on page 1068. 1068. John chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light which enlightens everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Amen. May the Lord bless to each and every one of us the reading and the hearing of his own word. I'm sure most of you have heard the phrase, like two peas in a pod, and you could probably point to a few people in the congregation and say they are like two peas in a pod. It indicates the similarity between one thing and another. On the other hand, there's the expression, as different as chalk and cheese, which refers to the difference between things. This is quite an old expression. As far as I could find out, the earliest record of it was made in 1390. But it's not really known why these two things were brought together, but they are certainly very different, chalk and cheese, a pair of two very different things. If you were to put chalk in along with your ham in your sandwich, or you tried to write on the blackboard with a piece of cheese, then you'd certainly find out very quickly just how different they are. Well, the Bible often uses the imagery of paired opposites, pairing two very different things together: heaven and earth, flesh and spirit, good and evil, belief and unbelief. These things are brought together and they're compared and they're contrasted. This evening I want to consider one pair of opposites that run right throughout the scriptures, right from Genesis right through to Revelation. And that is darkness and light. Darkness and light. I should begin with darkness because that's where the scriptures begin, in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2. At the very beginning, there was no light. Creation begins in darkness that covered the deep, Genesis 1 and verse 2. God then commanded that light appear, and he made a distinction between the light and its opposite, darkness, which he called night, Genesis 1 verse 4, verse 5 and verse 18. The prophet Isaiah in chapter 45 verse 7 tells us that God created both. He created the darkness as well as the light. Isaiah 45 verse 6, I am the Lord and there is no other. Verse 7, I form the light and create darkness. Now, this darkness at the beginning is a literal darkness, the absence of light. And we normally associate literal darkness, natural darkness, with the rhythm of day and night. And you can see night is starting to come upon us, and probably when we're leaving the building, it will be dark. We'll be in the dark. Sometimes it's the movement of clouds or an eclipse where the sun is hidden and we are in darkness. At times, God chooses to use literal darkness to accomplish his purposes. For example, in the account of the plagues God inflicted on Egypt in the ninth plague, there was a darkness that was so intense, it was said that it could be felt. It was so intense, so thick, that it could be felt. The presence of this darkness could be felt around them. Exodus chapter 10. And that darkness lasted 3 days. But what was peculiar about it was that it was a selective darkness. There was a miracle happening in this darkness, because wherever the Egyptians were, it was dark, but wherever the Israelites were, it was light. Again, when the Israelites are leaving Egypt, a cloud separated them from the Egyptians. And that same cloud gave light to the Israelites, but darkness to the Egyptians. Exodus chapter 14. In the New Testament, darkness is used twice in its literal sense. At the crucifixion, there was darkness. It lasted for 3 hours, from 12 noon until 3 p.m. The other New Testament reference to literal darkness is something that is yet to happen. It's going to happen at Christ's second coming, when we're told in Matthew 24, verse 29, that the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. Now, the Bible doesn't very often refer to literal darkness. Then there are a number of passages when it speaks about darkness, using the term in a more profound way with reference to God. Now, we might find that a bit strange to hear, that darkness being associated with God, because we usually associate God as being connected, related to light. God spoke to Moses on Mount Sinai, and we're told that he spoke to him from the mount from thick darkness. Exodus 20, verse 21. The people stood afar off, but Moses drew near the thick darkness where God was. The thick darkness where God was. And again in Deuteronomy 4, verses 11 and 12, again a reference speaking about God's meeting with Moses on Sinai. We're told that the mountain burned with fire to the midst of heaven, with darkness, cloud, and thick darkness. And the Lord spoke to you out of the midst of the fire. You heard the sound of the words, but you saw no form. You only heard a voice. God making himself known, but making himself known from out of the darkness, out of thick darkness. In 1 Kings chapter 8, we have a record of what happened when the Solomon's temple was completed and the ark is brought in and it's placed in the inner sanctuary in the Holy of Holies. It tells us there, 1 Kings 8, verses 10 to 12, when the priests came out of the holy place, the cloud filled the house of the Lord. Then Solomon spoke. The Lord said he would dwell in the dark cloud. the Lord dwelling among his people in the cloud upon the mercy seat, the cloud of glory. And as we know, the Holy of Holies was a place in complete darkness. God making his presence known to his people, but from the darkness. Psalm 18 and verse 11. He made darkness his secret place. Psalm 97 verse 2. Clouds and darkness surround him. Now this darkness in relation to God expresses his hiddenness. It's a way of expressing the inscrutable nature of God's dealings, God's working with men, his inscrutable ways, his ways that are hard to understand. He is hidden from us in darkness. He is unseen. He works in secret. But as you know, Psalm 139 verses 11 to 12 says, darkness is not dark with him. And in him, says John, in him there is no darkness. So darkness surrounds him. He is hidden. But in him there is no darkness at all. So the Bible seldom uses the term darkness in a literal sense. That is, talking about the darkness of the night. At times it uses the term darkness to refer to God in connection with his sovereign hiddenness, his secret workings, his secret way of doing things. But more often the term darkness is used both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament figuratively, especially in books of poetry and writings of poetry within the scriptures, like the book of Psalms, the book of Job is in poetry, the book of Isaiah. But it's not exclusively in poetry. The Apostle John was very fond of using both the terms darkness and light, using them in a figurative way. When it's used in a figurative sense, darkness denotes the whole range of what is evil and what is harmful and what is corrupt. Powers that are hostile to God are termed darkness. The Apostle John emphasizes again and again the conflict between darkness and light, this ongoing, continual struggle between Satan and Jesus. Darkness has its sphere of power in this world. Paul speaks about it in Colossians 1:13 when he talks about he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. So there is a kingdom, there is a power of darkness, there's a sphere of power of darkness in this world. The world is in darkness, but John tells us, as we read earlier, Jesus brought light into the darkness. Paul says that we wrestle against these hostile powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age. We wrestle against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So we are in a world of darkness. We are surrounded by hostile powers against God. The Apostle Peter tells us something of what's happening behind the scenes about these hostile powers, and he speaks about the angels who sinned were cast down to hell and they were delivered into chains of darkness. They sinned against God, they rebelled against him, and they were cast out of heaven and they were delivered into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment. In Revelation 16, we didn't get there this evening, But in Revelation 16, verse 10, John sees the beast that we were reading about. He sees this beast, the beast that his kingdom is full of darkness. He's unrepentant and he's blasphemous. And you saw it there in chapter 13 in Revelation, this blasphemy that's continually coming out of this kingdom of darkness, blaspheming God. Darkness, evil, hostile powers against God. The term darkness is also used to describe the human condition, the condition of the unbeliever. It's often used to picture spiritual ignorance, ignorance of God, ignorance of God's ways. Knowing God, knowledge of God, is represented as light. Lack of such knowledge is represented as darkness. And John uses the term in this sense in John 1, verse 5 that we read, when he says that light shines in the darkness, but the darkness did not comprehend it. Light shines in the darkness did not comprehend it. Light, God made known. The light come into the world. God displayed, God seen through his Son. But darkness, those in the darkness, they can't see it. They don't get it. They don't understand it. They can't comprehend it. And so John goes on to say in chapter 8, verse 12, they walk in darkness. They're in darkness and they're walking about in darkness. Those with no knowledge, no understanding of God and in his ways, their life is a way of darkness. And in John 12, 35, he who walks in darkness doesn't know where he's going. The unbeliever is in darkness and they're walking in darkness. Their life is in darkness and they don't know where their life is going. They don't know what it's all about. They're just tripping through life. John 11, verse 10, if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. To not know God, to be spiritually ignorant, is to be in darkness and under the power and influence of hostile powers who are against the Lord. The person who walks in darkness is also described as being a fool in Scripture. Ecclesiastes 2 and verse 14. The fool walks in darkness. The fool is someone who is walking in darkness. Psalm 82 verse 5. They do not know. They do not understand. They walk about in darkness. Paul is giving a description of the ungodly in his letter to the Romans in chapter 1 and near the end. He's speaking about those who suppress the truth. They don't want to know God's word. They don't want to know his truth. And they try to push it down or to push it away. They do not glorify God. They're unthankful. They become futile in their thinking, in their thoughts. And then in verses 21 and 22, he says, their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. And he goes on further in the chapter, the end of the chapter, with a list of their work and their behavior and their corruption. They reject God and their hearts are darkened. Their foolish hearts are darkened. And they do the works of darkness and what is evil and what is harmful and corrupt. So darkness describes the unconverted person's condition. Spiritual ignorance, no knowledge of God, people who are fools walking about in darkness. And darkness also describes their way of life, the way that they're living, that they produce unfruitful deeds, unfruitful works of darkness. The Apostle John gives the example of one such person. He speaks about the person who hates his brother in 1 John chapter 2. He who says that he's in the light and yet he hates his brother, he is in darkness until now. He who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and doesn't know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Jesus said that light has come into the world and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light lest his deeds should be exposed. The powers of darkness, man under the power and influence of darkness, they love darkness, they hate the light, and so they're continually trying to change things around them to make light to be darkness and darkness to be light. And we see it in our own day. The prophet Isaiah in 5 verse 20 says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." The writer of Proverbs, chapter 17, verse 15, he says that he who justifies the wicked and he who condemns the just, both of them are alike an abomination to the Lord. We started with darkness at the beginning, literal darkness, then darkness with reference to God, then figurative darkness with reference to all those things that are evil and harmful. Darkness is also used with reference to what's going to happen at the end. It's a major theme of the Old Testament prophets. They speak about the day of the Lord, and the day of the Lord is often associated with darkness. Just for one example, Joel chapter 2, verse 2 and verse 31. Excuse me, "For the day of the Lord is coming, for it is at hand, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness." Verse 31, "The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord." It all began in darkness, and it's going to end in darkness. The New Testament also links darkness with judgment in connection with Christ's coming. In two parables used to describe the kingdom of heaven, the parable of the wedding feast and the parable of the talents, Matthew 22 and Matthew 25. In both of these parables, there is a description of those who are excluded from the kingdom of heaven. Here are those who will not be part of God's kingdom, not be part of heaven. It speaks about those who are cast into outer darkness. And it says there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So there are those who walk in the darkness, who don't want anything to do with the light, and this is their end. They're going to be cast out into the outer darkness. Peter tells us about false teachers, and there are lots of false teachers in various guises about. And those false teachers have a place reserved for them. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 17, and Jude, verse 13. The place that is reserved for them is referred to as the blackness of darkness forever. The blackness of darkness forever. In Jude verse 6, we've already referred to it about those angels who didn't keep their proper domain, but they left their own abode. He has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. The day of the Lord is going to be a day of darkness, and it's going to usher in judgment into the blackness of darkness forever. The ungodly, the unbeliever will be driven away into darkness. You didn't want light in this life. You weren't interested in light in this life. And your end will be that you will be driven into darkness, and you will be silenced. There will be no escape from the darkness. Darkness forms part of God's judgment, God's punishment of those who disobey Him, of those who refuse Him, of those who reject Him. So in this life, to walk in darkness is to be going in the wrong direction, is to be going against the light. To walk in darkness is to be going astray. You have no idea where you're going. You don't know what it's about. But you keep on going anyway. And you're going astray. But if you die in darkness, it's to go into the blackness of darkness forever. If you're still in darkness, if you're walking in darkness, and you don't know where you're going, God is telling you this evening where you're going. You're going into the blackness of darkness forever. But then secondly, let there be light. Let there be light. Light. It's one of the most complex symbols in Scripture, because it's used in so many different ways. Just as darkness, it's used both literally and figuratively. It's used in a literal sense to speak of the light that God created in the beginning, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 3. When God created the world, there was no light until He commanded light to appear. The term is also used for other lights that God created in Genesis 1, the sun, the moon, and the stars. This is literal light, natural light. But just like the term darkness, more often the term light is used in a figurative way, in a symbolic way, to speak about God. God is light. To speak about Jesus. Jesus is the light of the world. To speak about the gospel. The gospel is light. To speak about believers. Believers are children of light. And to speak about the many good things that God gives to His people. Everything that is good, everything that is wholesome, everything that is a blessing is spoken about in terms of light. His instruction is called light. Psalm 119, verse 105, light to my path. His truth is light. In Psalm 43, peace is compared to light. In Isaiah 45, salvation is light. In Psalm 27, life is light. In Psalm 36, God is light. God is light. Light is closely linked with God in the Scriptures. As we've already referred to, 1 John 1 verse 5, John says, God is light. God is light. As we saw earlier, He's said to be surrounded by darkness. He is hidden. But more familiar to us are the verses that speak to Him in terms of light. Psalm 104 verse 2, He is robed with light. 1 Timothy 6 verse 16, He dwells in unapproachable light. And Paul uses that term, he changes it from earlier on when he's speaking about how God is invisible. And he repeats the whole thing again, but this time instead of saying He's invisible, he says he dwells in unapproachable light. He's hidden from us because of the greatness of the light, this unapproachable light. It expresses His holiness. How unapproachable He is because of His holiness and because He is invisible to us. Daniel chapter 2 verse 22, light dwells with Him. James 1 verse 17, He is the source of light. He is the Father of lights. And not only is God light, God brings light to His people. Micah chapter 7, verses 8 and 9. Rejoice not over me, O my enemy. When I fall, I shall rise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light to me. He will bring me forth to the light. I shall behold his deliverance. When everything seems dark, don't be happy that things seem to be going badly for me, that things seem to be coming crashing down around me. God knows all about it, and he will be a light to me even in this dark place. And so the psalmist says in Psalm 27, verse 1, whom shall I fear? What am I going to be afraid of? The Lord is my light. The Lord is my salvation. Isaiah 60, verse 19, the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory. So not only is God light, God will bring his people into his light. And light is also used as a reference, as a term of speaking about how God is going to bless his people. It's related to his blessing. It's related to the light of his countenance. Psalm 4, verse 6, David says, Lord, lift up the light of your countenance upon us. He's saying, Lord, bless us. Bless us. Lift up the light of your countenance upon us. Look upon us. Make your face to shine upon us. Those who walk in the light of God's countenance are blessed. Psalm 89 and verse 15. But then there's another side to this light of his countenance. Those who belong to him, who trust in him, are in the light of his countenance and are blessed as a result. But Psalm 90, verse 8, talks about it in a different way. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your countenance. So those who are not trusting in God and not walking in his ways, they are still in the light of his countenance. They do not sin in secret. Whatever they're doing in the hidden place, in the shadowy place, in the dark place, it is all known to the Lord. They're under his scrutiny. We're under his scrutiny, but we're under his scrutiny for blessing. They're under his scrutiny for judgment. But the emphasis again and again is really on the blessing that follows from God looking upon his people. Light and blessing. And Jesus is light. Jesus is light. In the New Testament, the imagery of light really centers about the Lord Jesus. Jesus refers to himself as the one who is the light of the world. He is the emissary of God. He is the one sent from the one who is light. And he comes as light. And he calls people out of darkness into his marvelous light. The true light who gives light to everyone. He it is who is coming into the world. Jesus is the light of the world. And those who follow him will receive the light of life. They will receive the truth that brings life. He brings salvation. He does the works of God. So those who reject the light, they reject Jesus. They reject God's salvation. They reject all the works of God on our behalf. For any to be rescued from darkness and to become children of light, we must, first of all, believe in the light. We must put our trust in the one who is the light of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ, the only Savior of sinners. God is light. Jesus is light. And what tells us about him is light. The gospel is light. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 to 6. If our gospel is veiled, if it is hidden to anybody, if anybody doesn't understand it or can't see it, it's veiled to those who are perishing. You don't understand it because you're perishing. You're in darkness and you're going into outer darkness. And that's why you don't understand it, why you can't see it. Whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel shines into their life. Lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone into our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The gospel is light. God's word is light. His commands give light. Light is used to speak about the illumination that happens when a person is transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. When a person comes into the knowledge of God, an understanding of God, an understanding of his salvation, an understanding of his works. God gave light to Paul on the day that he was converted on the Damascus Road. He did see, he literally saw a great light from heaven. Acts chapter 26. But not only did he see that light, he was also illuminated. He was illuminated by the word of the Lord Jesus addressing him, speaking to him. And in that moment, everything fell into place. All the stuff, all the garbage that he'd followed, all the things, the attempts that he made to be right with God, it all fell away in that moment. And he was illuminated and he knew that Jesus was the Savior. He knew that he was the light of life. Not only that, he was sent to illuminate others at that very moment. He was told to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. He had been turned from darkness to light in that very moment when he was breathing threats, when he was thinking and plotting of all the things that he was going to do to these believers. He was turned from darkness to light. And everyone who's turned from darkness to light becomes a child of light. Children of light. It's an expression that Paul uses twice, Ephesians 5 and 1 Thessalonians 5. John also uses it in John 12. And Hebrews 6 and Hebrews 10 describes believers as those who've been enlightened. They have been illuminated. Something has happened to them from the outside. It hasn't come from within. It's come from without. Turned from darkness to light. And those who receive Jesus, who believe in the light, they receive the power to become children of God. We read it earlier there in John 1. Those who follow Jesus will have the light of life. They are sons, they are children of light. So as children of light, those who have allegiance to the light, our conduct, our behavior ought to be shaped by that fact. John says, he speaks about walking in the light. We're walking in the light. Paul says in Ephesians 5 verse 9, you were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. So walk as children in the light. Why are you going back? What's there for you? Walk now as children of light. Chapter 5, verse 13. All things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. If we're walking in the light, if we're staying in the light, our conduct, our behavior will show up the evil and the corruption around about us for what it really is. Jesus said that his followers are the light of the world. He is the light of the world, but he calls his followers the light of the world. We're not light as he is light in the world. He is light as Savior. We can't save anyone. But as light, we point to the one who is the light, who is the only Savior. And we're to let our light shine before the world in such a way that people will see our quality of life and so come to praise our God. We have been illuminated by the light that is Christ, who dwells within his people by his Holy Spirit. Now, if we claim that, and we choose to ignore it. We ignore that illumination. And we live just like all the rest, all those who are walking in darkness, who are living in darkness, who are astray in darkness. If we begin to behave just like them or the way that we used to behave, then Jesus says, you're not only in darkness, you're in deep darkness. He says it's such a tragedy. Matthew 6, verse 23, Luke 11, verse 35. What a tragedy when the light that is in them is darkness. You claim to be in the light, to have come to the light, and look at the way you live. You're not just in the dark, you are in deep darkness. In Romans 13, verse 12, Paul urges the Roman believers to put on the armor of light, to throw off the works of darkness. As children of light, we are to bear fruit in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, and we are to bring glory to God our Father. Daniel chapter 12, verse 3 says, those who are wise will shine like the sky. Those who are wise, not fools walking in the dark, those who are wise will shine like the sky. Matthew 13, verse 43, the righteous will shine like the sun. Are we shining? Are we shining? One note of warning to the children of light, that we need to be constantly on our guard, because it is possible for Satan to disguise himself as an angel of light. 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 14. Not only can he disguise himself as an angel of light, Paul also warns that there are false apostles. There are deceitful workers who transform themselves into apostles of Christ, as messengers of Christ. And there are ministers who transform themselves into ministers of righteousness. But all their purpose is darkness and deception and seeking to lead astray. So we need to be on our guard. And we can only do that as we stay close to the light and to the light of His Word. Darkness ends. It's going to end in blackness of darkness forever. In the New Age, in the New Jerusalem, we're told that there's no sun, there's no moon, but it's not dark, because God's glory illuminates the city of God, and the Lamb is its light. Darkness and light. Finally, and briefly, in closing, coming out of darkness and into the light. God's deliverance, His work of rescue, of salvation from hostile powers, from spiritual ignorance, from works of darkness, is described as lighting the darkness. It was prophesied in the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, and it's fulfilled. We see its fulfillment in Matthew 4, verse 16, or Luke chapter 1, verse 7. Those who sat in darkness saw a great light. Jesus, the light of the world, has come into the world to deliver us from the power of darkness. And He calls any who are in darkness this evening to come out of the darkness and to come to Him for light. Psalm 107 and verse 14 that we're going to sing in just a moment. He brought them out of darkness. The psalmist there is crying out for deliverance, makes his prayer, and he is delivered. He's brought out of darkness, and he gives thanks to God. John 8, verse 12, he who follows me will not walk in darkness any longer, but will have the light of life. John 12, verse 46, whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. 1 John 2, verse 8, the darkness is passing away. The true light is already shining. Conversion is illumination. The question is, has the light gone on? Has the light gone on in your life? Can you see? Do you understand? Put your trust in the light of the world, in the Savior, and he will turn your darkness into light. He will give you light, and he will make you to be light. And he's going to take you to himself to be in his light for all eternity. Not the blackness of darkness, but in his light for all eternity. Turn away from the light, hate the light, run away from the light, try to hide from the light. You can't hide from the light. But if you go on that way, your darkness will become the blackness of darkness for all eternity. May God have mercy. May God have mercy. May he shine the light of his countenance on every one of us in this place this evening and all those connected to us, that they might come to the light and be part of his light for eternity in heaven. Let's pray. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for all of us in this place this evening who can give you praise and thanks that you brought us out of darkness and have brought us into your light and have given us the light of life, eternal life. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that you would continually remind us of these things and of this truth, and that we would be rebuked at any moment that we begin to wander off into areas of darkness. We pray that you would keep our feet firm and sure on the path of light, and that we would glorify you, that we would be light to those around about us, that we would shine like the sky. We pray that others would see that light and be attracted to it rather than repelled, and that they would come to know the light of the world as a result. Our Heavenly Father, we do pray for friends, for family members, for those that we work with, those that we school with, who as yet remain in darkness, and they're wandering in darkness, they're going astray in darkness. We pray, our Father, that you would have mercy upon them, that the gospel of light, your word of light, your power of light would come into their lives and bring them out of the darkness. Change their hearts and change their lives for your glory's sake and for their eternal well-being. Our Heavenly Father, we lift up to you the matters that concern us at this time, whatever might trouble us, and we might feel that we're in a dark place or there's a dark cloud hanging over us. We pray that we might know the light of your countenance upon us, your blessing of us. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.